जगर्हसामर्ष विपन्नया गिरा शिवत्विषं धूमपथश्रमस्मयम् स्वतेजसा भूतगणान् समुत्थितान् निग्रह्य देवी जगतो भिषण्वतः
तेजसा भूतगणान् समुत्थितान्
निग्रह्य
देवी जगतो विशृण्वतः
जगर्हसामर्ष विपन्नया गिरा शिवद्विषं धूमपथश्रमस्मयम् स्वतेजसा भूतगणान् समुत्थिता देवी जगतो विशृण्वतः
Word for word meaning? Jagarha began to condemn. Sa, she, Amarsha Vipannaya, indistinct through anger. Gira, with words. Shivadvisham, the enemy of Lord Shiva. Dhumapatha, in sacrifices. Shrama, by troubles. Smayam, very proud. Svatejasa, by her order. Bhutaganan, the ghosts. Samuttitan,
ready to injure Daksha.
Nigrahya, stop. Devi, Sati. Jagatah, in the presence of all. Abhishrinvatah, being heard. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The followers of Lord Shiva, the ghosts, were ready to injure or kill Daksha, but Sati stopped them by her order. She was very angry and sorrowful, and in that mood, she began to condemn the process of sacrificial fruitive activities and persons who are very proud of such unnecessary and troublesome sacrifices. She especially condemned her father, speaking against him in the presence of all. Purport. The process of offering sacrifices is especially meant to satisfy Vishnu, who is called Yatnesha, because he is the enjoyer of the fruits of all sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita 5.29 also confirms this fact. The Lord says, Bhoktaram yatnya tapasam. He is the actual beneficiary of all sacrifices. Not knowing this fact, less intelligent men offer sacrifices for some material benefit. To derive personal material benefits for sense gratification is the reason persons like Daksha and his followers perform sacrifices. Such sacrifices are condemned here as a labor of love without actual profit. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. One may prosecute the Vedic injunctions of offering sacrifices and other fruitive activities, but if by such activities one does not develop attraction for Vishnu, they are useless labors. One who has developed love for Vishnu must develop love and respect for Vishnu's devotees. Lord Shiva is considered the foremost personality amongst the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Thus, when Sati saw that her father was performing great sacrifices but had no respect for the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva, she was very angry. This is fitting. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is insulted, one should be angry. Lord Chaitanya, who always preached non-violence, meekness and humility, also became angry when Nityananda was offended by Jagai and Madhai, and he wanted to kill them. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is blasphemed or dishonored, one should be very angry. Narottam Das Thakur said, "Krodha bhakta dveshi jane." We have anger, and that anger can be a great quality when directed against a person who is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee. One should not be tolerant when a person is offensive towards Vishnu or a Vaishnava. The anger of Sati towards her father was not objectionable, for although he was her father, he was trying to insult the greatest Vaishnava. Thus, Sati's anger against her father was quite applaudable.
To these visitors here, there's a group sitting there. Do you all know English? They know English, otherwise they should sit where the translation is going on. Oh, Oriya, they want Oriya? Then better, Radha Krishna Charan, you sit in the middle of them all. Then, Oh, they want Hindi, do they? So that's going on? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Several important lessons can be extracted from this verse and Srila Prabhupada's purport to it. One is that on the social platform, it's clearly seen here by the behavior of Sati, that even though she was raised under the protection of her father, having been given in marriage, when there was a dispute between her father and her husband, actually there wasn't a dispute, but there was, Lord Shiva didn't respond to Daksha's blasphemy. But there was a distinct antipathy between the two. So Sati took the side of her husband to the extent that she became very angry at her father. It's practically unheard of in civilized society that a daughter can become angry at her father. Of course, in this case, her husband was more than her husband. He was a great Vaishnava. This is the point that Srila Prabhupada brings out. We have in this purport statements by Srila Prabhupada which would be very surprising to many spiritually minded people. One statement of Srila Prabhupada's: one should be very angry. One should not be tolerant. Of course, we have to see the context. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is insulted, one should be angry. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is blasphemed or dishonored, one should be very angry. One should not be tolerant when a person is offensive towards Vishnu or a Vaishnava. So, generally, one should not be angry. Generally, one should be tolerant. There are important instructions in this regard. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna certifies anger as one of the three gates leading to hell. Do you know that verse? No. Trividhang narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krodha tatha lobhas tasmat etat trayang tyajet. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that there are three gates to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, they should be given up. This is within the context of Krishna inciting Arjuna to become angry. Arjuna wanted to be tolerant of the atrocities of Duryodhana and his followers. Arjuna wanted to forgive and forget. Krishna, in response, first of all, he called Arjuna a kleb, or accused him of klaibyam, eunuchness, of being like a eunuch, which is a great insult for a kshatriya, who's supposed to be the very emblem of manliness. It was especially piercing to Arjuna, who had had to spend 1 year posing as a eunuch, dressed in a sari with braided hair. What an insult for a kshatriya to have to do such a thing. Krishna had also called Arjuna, or indicated, anarya. This is not proper. You're not acting like a civilized person. You're acting like a very low-class kind of person. You're talking like a pundit, as if you know what you're talking about, but you don't know actually what you're talking about. So Krishna insulted him in various ways, which is one way to get people angry, right? By insulting people, we expect them to become angry. But Arjuna was a Vaishnava. Or as Srila Prabhupada said in one purport in the Gita, that Arjuna was skillfully trying to avoid fighting by invoking Krishna consciousness. Very skillfully trying to outwit Krishna in philosophy so that he could avoid fighting. But generally it's a fact. Tolerance is always recommended. That is, for saintly people, we have in the beginning of Gita. Well, actually, throughout Gita, again and again and again, Krishna gives similar instructions. But just in the beginning, the first didactic statement of Krishna. That means giving personal instruction, what he should do in his life, or what his attitude should be. He's just started to give philosophical instruction. Dehino smin yata dehe kovarang yovanangjara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuhyati. He just started to give philosophical instruction regarding the eternality of the soul in comparison to the ephemerality, temporariness of the body. And Krishna describes that a dhira, a sober person, is not disturbed by such changes of the body, which the last of which is death. Then Krishna, in the next verse, goes on to explain what it means to be a dhira and how one's attitude should be in order to be a dhira. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shita ushna sukha dukha daha agama payano nityas tangstitik shashva bharata. Happiness and distress, Krishna says, are due to contact of the sense objects by the senses. Happiness and distress, just like heat and cold, the hot season and the cold season, they come and go. Therefore, one should tolerate them. Tolerance is required in order to develop love of Krishna. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's famous teaching, Trinadapi Sunichena Tororiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. One should have an attitude of considering oneself lower than grass. That's very humble, almost impossible to imagine, at least for me. Then one should be tolerant like a tree, ready to offer respect to others, and not desiring respect for oneself. And in this way, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is a prerequisite for developing love of God. This chanting of the holy names comes to perfection when one has internalized this spirit of the Trinadapi verse. We find in the last chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita discussion of Shikshashtaka, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining these verses to Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda. What is that verse? Harshe Prabhu kahe shuno surup ram rai ki rupe nam loile prema upajoy. Happily, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Surup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, now just hear in which way one has to take the name of Krishna in such a manner that prem, love of Krishna, will arise. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi sunichena tororiva sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. So utter humility, utter tolerance, and we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how the tree is so tolerant that it will stand in the heat and the cold and the rain and give shelter to others and shade to others and fruit to others. People will come and cut the tree, but the tree does not protest. The tree is simply serving others and personally suffering, but does not protest. So one should be like a tree in tolerance. So such tolerance is hallmark of a Vaishnava. But here we find Sati, the great devotee herself, great devotee of Vishnu, she is becoming intolerant. Lord Shiva has tolerated the insults to himself. This is proper for a Vaishnava. You tolerate insults to yourself. But Sati, she did not tolerate, because it wasn't her being insulted, because it was her Vaishnava husband who was being insulted. Vaishnava was being insulted. And as we will see in the description of the desecration of the whole sacrificial arena and the violence perpetrated against Daksha and his supporters, we will see the results of insulting Vaishnavas. Daksha was the one who did it, not others. But others had to share the bad result for failing to protest. They became implicit in the crime, even in law, the secular law of the state. We'll find that in all countries, most probably, that even if one does not commit a crime himself, but if he knows about it and fails to notify the law enforcement authorities, the police, then that person, although he personally did nothing wrong, but is also implicit in the crime, for he may not even have encouraged, may have even discouraged the criminal from doing it, but failure to report it makes one also blameworthy and punishable. These things should be understood. One should become angry in some circumstances. Once in South India, I believe it was, maybe in Chennai, Madras at the time, one young British man was there, not a devotee, who was visiting when Srila Prabhupada had a small meeting. He was appreciative of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was preaching, and afterwards the man said, "Yes, it's all very good what you've said, and we can all adopt it, and then we'll all become less angry." Srila Prabhupada said in response, "What's wrong with being angry?" The man was shocked. You remember you read that? You're nodding your head like that. Yeah. The man was shocked. Surely a sadhu will preach against anger. Being angry is a very bad quality. Maybe we've seen people becoming angry. We've been the subject of anger ourselves. So the man was shocked. But actually, if you think about it, it doesn't require any great philosophy to understand it. Anger is sometimes required. If the parents are never angry toward the children, then the children won't be properly trained. The child, of course, when the child is very young, they can do anything. They can pass stool in public. Anything they can. A child has full license to do anything. Of course, if the child is screaming and yelling in public, then your mother takes them away. The mother, generally speaking, the mother, not the father. Different roles for different people. Despite all claims of men and women being equal in all respects, one way which we see women are, it's universally understood that women are much better than men in looking after little children. 5-year-old children. And men just go, drives them nuts in most cases. But women, they're quite happy. It reminds me, you see, in the courtyards, people keep chickens, and the chicken runs around with all the little hens running after. So it's like that. It's not the male that looks after the little chickens. It's the mother. Same thing, the dog. It's the mother that looks after the little puppies, not the father. So the anger is required when the child is getting a little older, and the child speaks out of turn to an elderly person, then it's in order to chastise the child. Anger is sometimes required. And young boys, especially, if they're not trained in our gurukul, and they can be quite unruly. They like that, at least I know from my own childhood, that we took pleasure in making the teachers angry. And the teachers would get angry, and in retrospect, they were right in getting angry. They should have done, because we were little rascals. Of course, in today's absolutely insane society, growing up from a fairly young age, I understood it was insane. But now it's, well, I won't say absolutely insane, because it can always get worse. You never know what kind of thing they're going to dream up next in their insane society. Once you become insane, once insanity becomes the norm, once you have a group of mad people in charge of society, then there's no saying what crazy things they'll do and say next. So in today's society, you shouldn't become angry at children, shouldn't discipline children, should just let them grow up and let their inner tendencies come out. One book, talking about school again, my school I went to, one book we had to study at school, the author is William Faulkner, and the title of the book is The Lord of the Flies. And it's about a group of young boys who were on a ship that got shipwrecked somewhere in the middle of the ocean. And somehow they got to some island, uninhabited island, where they got some food, they could live. And it describes how in a short time, the children, the boys, without any adult supervision, became extremely violent, and the strong ones dominated the weaker ones. And when it came to the point that one boy killed another, just at that point, is that right? Have you read this story? As far as I remember, it's a famous modern novel. Never heard of it. You've heard of it, yeah. Well, so it just one had killed another, and then a rescue ship came, and that was the end of the story, as far as I remember. So the moral of that story is, well, there may be many, that human, without discipline in society, people will, a certain class of people will tend to be barbaric. They'll take advantage of their own strength to exploit unfairly persons without such strength. This was seen in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, in which the whole city became flooded. This was, what, 10 years ago? Something like that. New Orleans, a major city in the United States. Major means it's quite large, otherwise nothing of much importance, unless you're into jazz music. So, all civil amenities were broken down, the city was flooded, and gangs roamed around and just looted all the stores, and they just took advantage. There were no police and no one to tell them what to do, and they just took advantage and indulged in looting. Of course, that doesn't happen everywhere in the world. There are severe floods every year in different places in India, but we don't hear about gangs going around looting. But it's understood. Oh yeah, another time, one god brother of mine sent me a clip from the news. This was just about 3 years ago, in Florida, in the United States, when a hurricane was about to hit, and people were all fleeing from that area. And one man referred to how the thin veneer of civilization was breaking down in that emergency. So thin veneer, thin covering of civilization. In other words, that people very quickly become uncivilized once there are no systems to keep them in control. So anger, institutionalized anger is required in society in order to keep the citizens in control when they're animalistic. As in today's consumer society, it's called a consumer society, which is fueled by, people are motivated by lust and greed. Everything is advertised by promoting desire. You should use this kind of soap, with some nice music and this and that, because then your children will have white clothes, and the next door neighbor woman will look at you enviously because her son doesn't have such white clothes. That was the message of the surf advertisement many years ago. They didn't say it like that, but you'd see in the advertisement, one boy with the proud-looking mother with a shirt that if you look at it, you have to wear sunglasses, it's so white and bright. And the other woman with her son with a grey-looking shirt, looking ashamed. So the message is you have to use surf, and then you're a hunkar, then your egoism will increase. So in various ways, and grossly in advertising, they promote lust. Famously, I say, you don't know. Why should you know? But at least in Britain, maybe in America, there is a whole brand of car tires promoted with very sexy pictures of women. What women have got to do with car tires? Pretty much nothing, but it's associated in people's minds. If you buy this car tire, something to do with a very almost naked woman. If you buy the tire, you don't get the woman, which is probably better for you, because if you get the woman, you get a whole bunch of trouble anyway, especially that kind of woman who will pose in photos with no clothes on, or almost no clothes on. But the idea is there, that they're promoting a lusty feeling that, buy these car tires. And then it's some feeling of lust in the heart is incited to make people buy things, and then greed, get more and more and more and more things. So the whole society runs on lust and greed. And what's the other one? Kaam, Krodh, Lobh. The three go together, lust, greed, and anger. So when the whole society is based on lust and greed, you can expect people to act in an uncivilized way unless they're controlled by the force of the law, which is required. In Vedic society also, Kshatriyas are there. They are to protect the population, not only from outside invaders. Actually, outside invaders is not so much of a problem for the population. Because if a neighboring king attacks, it's not a problem for the population, because invaders don't go around burning fields and killing and raping citizens. They only fight with the local Kshatriyas. So if your king is defeated, then you have another king and you have to pay the taxes to another king, that's all. Either you pay to this king or another king. There are descriptions in one field the Kshatriyas will be fighting, and the next field the man is ploughing the field. He doesn't care who wins, what's going on. They're not going to harm him. And he has to do, they're doing their work, which is fighting with each other, and he's doing his work, which is ploughing the field. When they're finished, then whoever's the king, he'll give them a certain amount of his crop. That's all. So in this demoniac society, there must be anger. That is the symptom of a demon, that said about Hiranyakashipu, although he had everything in the world as fuel for the fire of his mundane desire. He literally got whatever he wanted, but still he was always angry, because material sense gratification never leads to happiness. It simply leads to frustration. Frustration is expressed as anger. So even without any reason, someone may inflict violence on another. Just out of general feeling of frustration. So such anger is very bad. But one should be angry if a Vaishnava is insulted. Otherwise, one becomes complicit in that crime. He also becomes a sharer. He has to share in the bad results of that. That's described when Nityananda Prabhu went to the village of Ramachandra Khan, who had been so wicked in trying to get Haridas Thakur to fall down. Nityananda Prabhu went to his village later, and that Ramachandra Khan, he treated Nityananda Prabhu and his followers very demeaningly. He didn't give them a proper place to stay. He said, oh, they can stay in the cowshed. He didn't welcome them properly. So Nityananda became very angry. Why? He was being mistreated, but he was coming as a representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. So seeing Ramachandra Khan's disdain and insulting behavior toward the Vaishnavas, Nityananda left there in anger. In this regard, there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that? Mahantar Apaman? What is that? Jai Deshe Hoy? Ekjone Dosh. Shoktaki Ramchandra, Ramchandra Kane Shambandi. Anyway, the purport is that this is the result of insulting a great person. Because of one person's... then what happened later, shortly after, the Turkish, a representative of the government, so a Turk, a representative of the government, because Ramchandra Khan, as a tax collector, had been keeping more for himself than he was allowed. So a Turkish tax collector came and killed a cow in the courtyard of Ramchandra Khan and devastated the whole village, pillaged the whole village for days, and everyone had to flee the village. So, and Krishnadas Kaviraj gives the comment that this is the result of Vaishnava Aparad. For one person's fault, the whole village had to suffer. So we should be very careful. Okay, I'll finish there. Any question? Anyone like to find that verse? Ek jane dosh, I believe that's how it goes. These are important things you can all learn. There are so many important verses we have to learn. If you're young and you have a brain, you can learn. It becomes useful for you throughout your life. I don't. You, is that in the? You're looking it up in the verse book? No. Ek janera, yeah. Yeah. Eka, E-K-A. Can't find it. All right, then we'll leave it. One question, yeah.
In Mahabharata, Draupadi always take revenge on Kauravas, but Yudhishthira always means...
Draupadi wanted revenge. Yudhishthira...
Tolerate.
Was more in the mood of tolerating. That was his inclination, Yudhishthira, to tolerate, but at the same time he knew that this should not be tolerated. his personal inclination was to be forgiving in all circumstances, but he knew in this case, because he was quite, he'd taken it upon himself to become fully educated in the tenets of Dharma. And even without being highly educated in the tenets of Dharma, it was quite obvious that the Duryodhana Karna, Shakuni and others. Mahante Rapamande Deshagrame Hoy Ekjana Dosh Shabdesh Ujardai. Wherever an advanced devotee is insulted for one man's fault, the entire town or place is afflicted. Yeah, so is that all right? Do you want me to say something more about that?
Day-to-day life, we have also came across so many incidents, means where to be angry or tolerant. Sometimes it may be difficult for us also, means if anything doing to others.
Yeah, at every moment we have to make decisions. Of course, in day-to-day life, it's much of a routine. And we know mostly the people we're dealing with. But some situations may arise where we may get angry or we may tolerate. And we have to think. Anger should be controlled anger. As we see in the case of Sati, in this very verse, it said that she restrained the followers of Lord Shiva. The followers of Lord Shiva, the ghosts, were ready to injure or kill Daksha, but Sati stopped them by her order. She was very angry. She was very angry, but still she stopped the followers of Lord Shiva from acting against Daksha at that point. So it was controlled anger. Then we'll finish. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. These are all verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, isn't it? I did something like this in Bengali, but I also included verses from Chaitanya Bhagavata, Prem Bhakti Chandrika.